Welcome to the Spirit of Praise broadcast, coming to you from Tabernacle of Praise Church International, York, South Carolina. I'm Bishop Alfred Jackson. I'm thankful that you've tuned in today, and I pray that the message will bless you and impact your life in a powerful way. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy the message.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All I want is for you to be glorified, for you to be lifted. All I want. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. That's where God wants us. God wants us at that place. And all we want is for Him to be glorified, for Him to be lifted. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. Amen. 1 Kings, chapter 18. Thank God for our music ministry this morning. Mm. 1 Kings, chapter 18. I will pick up from where Elder Jolo left off in chapter 18, verse 30. That's where I will pick up reading. Then Elijah said to all the people, and if you can, let's stand if you can. Then Elijah said to all the people, come here to me. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, your name shall be Israel. With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold two seahs of seed. 24 liters, milliliters, or something like that of seed. 24 pounds, or 11 kilograms of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill four large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. I want to use for a thought today, when you need an answer from God, hallelujah. When you need an answer from God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that when your word goes forth, It does not return to you void, but it accomplishes all that you desire. Thank you, Lord, that you prosper your word in the things that you sent your word to. Thank you for sending your word to us today. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Thank you for your anointing. Amen. When you need an answer, when you need an answer from God. If there was ever a time that followers of Christ, or time for followers of Christ to be passionate for God, that time is now. We seem to be living in a time when the cause of Christ is the farthest from people's minds and least on their agenda. Everything else seems to take priority over God and commitment to Him. We are passionately intense about the things in our lives that really concern us. And it appears that God is not one of them. The words of Christ ring true in this generation. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The heart is the seat of the will, the affections, the passions, the emotions. The word passion deals with intensity. Being on fire for something, right? Intentionally focusing in on and engaging in something. Or that which we care deepest about. Our theme for this year is maintaining spiritual intensity for God's movement. So being passionate about God, spiritually intense about Him means that we care deepest about God and those things that He cares about. What does God care about most? He cares about our relationship with Him, which is manifested in our love for Him, our devotion to Him, our worship of Him, and our service to Him. Jesus stated that there were two commandments on which all the law and the prophets hang. They are, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Then he said, the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. God cares about our relationship with Him. And that relationship is manifested. It is manifested through our love for Him, our devotion to Him, our worship of Him, and our service to Him. God also cares about His name being glorified. Thank you for that song, Sister Yvonne. In Isaiah chapter 43, and I won't read all of this for the sake of time, but you can read verses 1 through 7. It starts out by saying, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, do not fear, for I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by your name. You are mine. But it ends up in verse 7, and it says to them, bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Whom I created for my glory means the ones I've created to put me on display. God being glorified is not about us putting ourselves on display, but it's about us putting Him on display. And it says to those of us who've chosen to follow Jesus when we come into the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 following, He says, in Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ. And when it says this, Paul is speaking of that generation of Christians who were the first to put our hope in Christ so that we might be for the praise of his glory. And then he goes on to say, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory.
Hallelujah.
You and I, in this generation, in the generations beyond the first generations of Christians, we have been marked. We have been marked in him. We have been sealed. We have been formed. We've been brought into this world to give God praise.
Hallelujah.
For the praise of his glory.
Yes.
We are put on display for God's glory, not for our glory. We exist to glorify his name. And we will not do it unless we are passionate about him. We will not display God's glory in a way that brings him glory unless we are passionately intense for him and about him. Now, out of that intensity, we operate when it is something, out of intensity, we operate when it is something that we care about, something that we want, all right? Whether it be for our spouses or our money or whether it's pleasure or recognition or our children, whatever, we operate out of intensity when it's something that we care about. Think about it.
Amen.
Think about it. You could be passionately intense about pleasure. You can be passionately intense about a job. You can be passionately intense about money. You can be passionately intense about your family, about your children, about just passionately intense. Things that we care. So we understand being passionately intense. And I know I'm probably using the same word twice, but I just wanted to emphasize that. Like Jesus said, verily, verily. Passion, intensity. So we understand what it is. I mean, you know, we had in Blair yesterday, we had what we started 16 years ago called Big Blair Day. And one of my cousins moved back from Ohio before he passed away, started this where out in the country in Blair, South Carolina, no stoplights. The post office, I think, is even closed down. But the whole community comes together and has a parade, and the churches come together, and we get together in the ballpark, and we just have this big day of fun and events. And I probably have some family members watching me today, so I don't mean anything negative by this, but you know, on a couple of posts, when we posted family pictures, people were put out there all about family. And I understand what people are saying, but really, it's all about the Lord. Amen. And family fits in there. Family is important, but God has to be glorified first. Amen. Christ above all. Amen. Because when Christ is not glorified above everything else, then we allow other things to get in front of Jesus. And we will allow our family to get in front of Christ. You heard the old saying, blood is thicker than water. And I've always said when I heard, not always, when I came to the knowledge of the truth, which blood are you talking about? It's the blood of Jesus that's thicker than water. Amen. I love my family, but my family is not going to take the place of Christ. Amen. Amen. We have to understand this. I love my family. Amen. I enjoy my time with my family, but Christ comes first. Amen. But we understand intensity. I mean, when we talk about this thing, it's not something that's foreign to people, because we are intense people. People are fierce about their time. People are fiercely intense about their time. So God has to fit into our time. You know, most of us don't operate like we fit into God's time. We operate like God has to fit into our time. Amen. 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 We have our schedule for the week. We make our schedule for the year, and we plug God in somewhere. Are you getting the picture? You know, yeah. There's certain parts of the United States where you go, and you know, we're still kind of in the Bible Belt in the South, but it's not quite as bad as this. You know, certain times of the day, you're just not going to have worship. On Sunday, you're just not going to have worship, because people are going to go to the lake, people are going to go to the park, people are going to go fishing, people are going to have a family gathering. And if you don't have worship at the right time, are you understanding what I'm saying? And the attitude today in the church world is that we have to accommodate people. Where people don't have the mind to accommodate God. So we are in a predicament in this world. And things are not getting better. Things are not getting better. They're actually getting worse. As you look at the world around us, and you gotta look outside of your little circle. And even in your little circle, things are bad. Amen. 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 But if you look bigger than your circle, I mean, it is confusion everywhere. People are mixed up. People are confused. People are hurting. Amen. It seems like, I mean, you know, it seems like we're living in a day and a time when people just don't know what to do. We're in a predicament in this world. What's happening in nature is a sign of what's happening in people's lives.
That's right.
The hailstorm in Rock Hill last week. It's just an indication of what's happening in people's lives. Yesterday, before at least 4 o'clock, out in the Nebraska area, over 80 tornadoes struck, and they were expecting more last night. It's just a sign of what's happening in people's lives. I am not saying that, I'm just saying what I'm saying. It's people are having tornadoes in their lives. People are having hailstorms in their lives. They don't know what to do. And all of these people are not outside of Christianity. All of these people are not outside of the church. Some of us right inside of the building, we don't know what to do. We ought to know what to do, but we don't. And if you don't know what to do, it's not my place to say you ought to know what to do. It's my place to help you find out what to do. Because if I say you ought to know what to do, if I look at you and say you ought to know what to do, I'm being judgmental. I don't want to be judgmental, because there might be some things in my life that you can say you ought to know what to do. We got to help people find out what to do, what to do, what to do. We're in a predicament. God is our only hope. He is, or he has the answer for all of the ills of this society. He alone has the power to change things. And we need that answer. We need that answer from God today. Not simply to tell us what to do, because he's told us in the word. He's really told us in the word, but too many people are not in this word. Too many people are not. He's told us in the word. But we also need him to help us. We need him to help us. Yeah. We need him to help us. To meet us where we are and to stir us to embolden action to do what needs to be done. Because saints, the power that rests and abides in us, the wisdom of God that he's given us. Amen. The discernment that God has given to his church. We know what to do. Too many of us are afraid to step out and do it. As we look at people in this world, we see spiritual blindness. We see the godlessness of people in this world. We see the destructive web that Satan is entangling people in, yet we are doing little other than talking and praying about it. Too many of us have resigned ourselves to allowing the chips to fall where they may when it comes to salvation of souls. But that's not God's way. God intentionally sent Jesus into this world to seek and save the lost. Amen? God has intentionally given you and me the same assignment. It's intentional. You and I are saved to display his glory in this world. And that does not mean being like a mannequin in a store window. Do you get that? It does not mean us being like a mannequin in a store window, all dressed up, so that somebody can say, oh, you look so good. It's for us to get involved in the process of declaring his glory, preaching the gospel, challenging people to make decisions for Jesus Christ, because this situation, only God has the answer for, and only God can effect change. People need Jesus. Amen. People need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. People need God's way. We remember, and a lot of us will agree with that old song that Andre Crouch wrote a long time ago. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. So, amen. Getting this answer to people requires passion from those of us who know. All right. Getting this answer to those who are confused, to those who are disillusioned, to those who've been deceived, to those who are bound by the destructive evil forces of Satan requires passion from those of us who know. Spiritual intensity on our part. If we are not on fire for God, we'll do the bare minimum while we put most of our effort into the things that we're really passionate about. Sunday morning worship is the bare minimum. Sunday morning worship, coming to church on Sunday, is the bare minimum. Oh, I want to see you. Amen. Those who are watching me online this morning, you could be here today for whatever. I want to see you in the sanctuary. You know, it's wonderful to look on Wednesday night. I look and I see last Wednesday night, 145 views. That's wonderful. I love to see 145 people in Bible study on Wednesday night. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen. Coming to worship on Sunday morning is the bare minimum. Even watching the service online is the bare minimum. Thank God for watching the service online, but it's the bare. Something needs to be done. Yeah. Getting the answer to people. Getting the answer to people who are struggling, people who are confused, people who are hurting, people who are disappointed, people who are disillusioned, requires us to be on fire and requires us to do more than the bare minimum. Nobody's going to get saved just because you came to worship. Nobody's going to get saved just because you listened to the service online. Amen. The last time I checked, if I want to season my food, I have to take the seasoning out of the cabinet and I have to put it on the food. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. In order for the world to receive your light, you've got to be shining. In order for the world to receive your salt, you've got to touch people. Yeah. So, we know that when we need wisdom and we need direction for life, we know that we need to go to God. Everybody doesn't know that, but we know it. We also know that when we need help in ministry, we go to God and His Word. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like I need help. I feel like I need help. You might be all right. All right? With just Sunday morning worship. Amen. You might be all right with 2 minutes in prayer on Wednesday night. But I need more than that. I need help. So I sought the Lord. Yes, I do. I seek the Lord. I don't just pick up a sermon and come and preach it. I sought the Lord for help, and He led me to this passage about Elijah and the people of Israel. Elijah really needed an answer from God as to what needed to be done, because the people had turned their backs on God. Elijah is God's prophet. Amen. And he sees the condition of the people, and he knows what will happen. He knows what God has even said about what will happen when people turn their backs on Him. So let's see what we can glean from Elijah to help us in our day. What we're reading about here is a story that demonstrates spiritual intensity. Right? Now, we see intensity in the story, but we see misguided intensity, all right? All right? And along with guided proper intensity, all right? And we see what misguided intensity gets us. But if we look at this closely, we also see what properly informed and guided spiritual intensity gets us. You see, people can be intense about the wrong thing. Now, you look at this passage of Scripture, and we see them being intense about the wrong thing. They were intense about Baal and Baal worship. 450 prophets of Baal. 400 prophets of the grove, 850 prophets, and the people following false gods. Why would Israel follow false gods? When they knew the God who brought them out of Egypt, brought them into the promised land, they knew all that God had done for them. But there did arise a day, where the people... There arose a generation of people who didn't know God. You read the book of Judges. And when I've read that, I've asked, how can a generation arise that doesn't know God? Well, the only answer for that is that the generation before them didn't communicate their faith. Amen. Didn't communicate their faith. We do good. Let me tell you something. We can do good as a people with performance.
Come on now.
I've been watching these different reels of old time singing, you know, quartet singing, you know, and you know, people like it, you know, when you walk down the aisle and you shake their hand, you know, and you're singing, you know the displays that we put on in church.
Amen.
People get into that.
Yeah,
they get into that. You know, people get into those preachers who have the sweet voices, who can really tune it up, you know, who can, as we say, call it, you know. You know, and that's a part of how we grew up, you know. And I listen to a preacher who can preach like that, I move too. You know? But I realize the emotionalism that's tied to that. And being a preacher, you know, and analyzing things and listening to my classmates when I was in seminary, you know, listening to the guys as they were preparing to go home on the weekend, or when they came back from the weekend and they were patting each other on their backs and said, "Doc, I killed it yesterday. Doc, I killed them yesterday. God didn't, I told you before, God didn't call me to kill you. He called me to preach life, you know." So I understand that we can get caught up in all of the theatrics that goes into worship, and then people leave empty.
And sometimes people don't know that they are empty because they're so into what they're doing, and everybody around them is into what they're doing, that they don't see the difference. And when they meet you and they hear you talk about Jesus and talk about faith and talk about trusting God and you got to believe the word of God, oh, you super spiritual person. I had a young man say to me once, I knew him well, and he was visiting us early on in our ministry. He said, I like the church, but y'all too deep for me. And I looked at him and I said, no. I said, you need to come so you can learn. What your experience was shallow, but you can't live life in shallow water. You got to learn how to swim. You got to learn how to swim if you're going to survive. Anyway. So we're reading about the story that demonstrates spiritual intensity. And most of us know this story. Most of us know this story, I pray. But if you don't know it, I think you can read. So I don't want to preach the whole story, all right? I want to lift up some points from this account. Amen. Elijah on Mount Carmel, okay? One prophet, and we would say against 450 prophets of Baal, but actually Elijah wasn't alone.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. When God is with you, you always have the majority.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So the people, Elijah calls the people and says, choose you this day who you will serve. You got to make up your mind. He sees the condition of the people. He even says that Ahab and Jezebel have been a part, and they were a part of leading the people away from God. All right? And he says to Ahab, today he's a true, call the prophets of Baal and meet him on Mount Carmel, and they are to have this contest. And the God who answers by fire, he says, let him be God. He said this to the people, and the Bible says, as you read this, the people said, that's good. We agree with that, Elijah. Yeah, we agree with that. Amen, we agree with that. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. So they get together. The 450 prophets of Baal. The contest is, you go first. You put your sacrifice on the altar. They built an altar to Baal. They put the sacrifice there. And they cried out to Baal. No answer. About noontime, Elijah said, he might be sleeping. He's a god. He might be on vacation. Cry a little bit louder. They cried out louder. They took their swords and they slashed themselves. Blood was gushing out. No answer. The time came for Elijah. Said, you've had your chance. I'm paraphrasing. Now it's my time. And he told the people. The first thing he did was he tore down the altar to Baal. Now, I've preached this before, and I remember preaching about how we need to tear down these altars that we built up in our lives. Because that's part of our problem. We built altars to self. We built altars to pleasure. We built altars to prosperity. We built altars of our families, of our loved ones, of our children. And we're trying to put them in place of God. And we can't do that. Elijah tore down the altar to Baal and rebuilt the altar to God according to the prescription. 12 stones. It represented each one of the tribes of Israel. And then he called on God. But let me just back up just a little bit, okay? Let me just back up just a little bit. So we're in the church world. If we're not careful, we can be like the prophets of Baal. We can be like the prophets of Baal. We can come together and we can yell to God. We can come together and we can make a lot of noise expecting God to move. We can even fast and try to twist God's hand and make him move on our behalf. But that's misguided intensity. And we, like the prophets of Baal, will get nothing. Because God is not moved by our misguided efforts. And in our misguided efforts, God sees our hearts. God knows our hearts. He knows the reasons that we ask for things. And many times in the church world today, we are not asking for things for God's glory. Because the church even is so self-absorbed. It's about us. It's about the numbers. It's about the budget. It's about publicizing our name so that we are recognized. When we wonder why things are not changing, we need to look back at ourselves. Look back at ourselves. I'm always checked by the fact. Jesus says, straight is the gate, broad is the way that leads to life. And many that go in, leads to destruction. And many go in thereby. Let me start that over. I don't know if I said that right. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And few go in thereby. Broad is the way. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many go in thereby. Sometimes we judge church and church effectiveness by numbers. As I said earlier, I love to see the sanctuary full every Sunday. But rather than send a full sanctuary, I want to send effective people. I want to see a people who are able to minister to the hurts and the needs and the situations of society. I want to see a people who love the Lord with all their hearts, with all their souls, with all their minds, and with all their strength. So God is not looking for us to cry out louder. He is not looking for us to have louder worship services or for us to find popular preachers to bring in. He's not looking for us to get a better sound system or to paint the sanctuary black and close all the windows and install strobe lights. That won't get the answer from God that this world needs. It might bring more people, but if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? This is a battle that we're in, saints, and people need to prepare for battle. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? God still says, when I shut up heaven so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Saints, this is it's about us, but it's not just about us. We are on assignment in this world, saints. This is about what we're seeing in the world around us. We have to want this world to be healed. Well, what is it about Elijah that opened the way for God to hear and answer his prayer? What is it that we need? We need an answer from God. We don't know how to fix this problem with the church. Yes, I said with the church. We don't know how to fix this spirit of lethargy that has gripped us. We don't know how to fix this issue of self-absorption that has engulfed us. We don't know how to fix this spirit of laziness and lack of compassion for souls that has seized us. But God has the answer, and we see it in Elijah. What do we see? First of all, Elijah was a man of faith. His faith was shaped by two things: his life of prayer and his closeness to God. His life of prayer and his closeness to God. James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. Now, when we read that, we are amazed. When I first read it, I was amazed. Wow. Look at what God did through Elijah. Wow. I think I even prayed one time for God to stop the rain, the sin rain. I know what I did one time. I was doing a revival. Went in the church down in Griffin, Georgia. And honeybees had taken over the sanctuary. So I told the pastor, I said, we're going to have service tonight. I said, we're going to rebuke these bees in the name of Jesus. And see, I was young. I had a lot of zeal without a lot of knowledge. I said, we're going to rebuke these bees in the name of Jesus, and we're going to have service tonight. I went in that sanctuary, that bee stuck me up beside my head and stung me. I said, okay, we're good. Elder Jordan, bring my towel, please. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we're young in the Lord, and our faith is not at that level we want to be, but, you know, at least I tried. Somebody said, at least you tried. Hallelujah. Oh, I faced more things than honeybees since that day. And I've seen the hand of God move and the power of God at work. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But, listen, saints, what was happening here was that Elijah was praying the promise of God based on what God had said. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 17, God spoke those very words to Israel. God said, if you faithfully obey the commands that I'm giving you today, then I will send rain on your land in its season. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the land the Lord has given you. Elijah was close to God. Elijah knew God's word and the promises of God's word. So what Elijah, in this personal relationship with the Lord, when he prayed in that situation, he prayed the will of God. That's what he did. He prayed the will of God based on what God had said in his word. How many times do we have to say that we go back to God with what he said in his word? Father, you said it. Lord, I stand on your word. I stand on what you promised. I stand on what you said in your word. You can't force God, but God honors his word. You don't have to force him, amen? God, hallelujah. God has elevated his word above his name, amen? God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should repent. Has God said it and he will not do it? God will do it. And that's what Elijah did in his closeness with God. I know some of us grew up hearing about the winding sheet and the covers that covered our bodies but not our grave clothes. Amen. We grew up in a church where people recited. And, when I first started praying, I started reciting what I heard my daddy say and what I heard the older deacon say. But I learned that I needed to go into the word of God and pray back to God what God has said in his word. And when I pray it from a vantage point of faith. I'm not just repeating words, but I believe what God has said. Yeah. So, saints, we need to go back to pursuing God privately. Privately in prayer. Seeking him, crying out to him in our private time For the way we pursue God privately changes the results of our public ministry. I know you're looking for me to do everything, but God didn't call me to do everything. God called me to equip you, amen, so that you will do the work of ministry. And your private life, amen, affects what happens publicly in ministry. And it's that way in every church. We need people who privately love the Lord, who privately are seeking the Lord, who privately are pursuing God. You can't pursue God just on Sunday morning. You got to pursue God on Monday, on Sunday night. You got to pursue God at 3:00 in the morning. Amen. When your body is racked with pain and you can't get to a doctor, you got to pursue God on Tuesday morning. Amen. When there's nobody else around, you got to pursue God on Saturday night when you're tempted to go out to the nightclub, when you're tempted to do drugs, when you're tempted to commit adultery. You got to pursue God. The Bible says if we draw near to God, he'll draw near to us. But to do it in your private time. It's easy for us to come into the sanctuary around all the saints dressed nice, smelling good. We're leaping and jumping and praising the Lord. Well, that same leaping needs to be in your private time. The same praise for God needs to be in your private time. Whew. Yeah. And then we have to remember, doing it in your private time, yes, it's going to change the results of ministry. But this in public ministry, this is not about us being seen. Ministry is not a show on a stage. We don't come to perform. We don't come to perform. Amen. We come to give God praise. Amen. Tell you the best praise and worship is when the praise team just praises and worships God. Amen. Forget about the people in the sanctuary. Amen. You just get up here and praise the Lord. Amen. You worship the Lord. Amen. You praise God. That's why when I'm in worship, I close my eyes most of the time. I might open them and turn around. I might have to make sure that I'm not backing up against a seat or stepping on somebody's feet. You know, but I close my eyes and I worship the Lord. Amen? It's not about a show, saints. It's not about our notoriety. It's not about us being seen or recognized. It's about pursuing God, so that we're close to him and our faith is in him is strongly established. The other thing I noticed here, and I'll be finished, is that in the situation with Elijah, Elijah's motives and his purpose was right. Elijah, you see what happened in the text. He builds the altar for God. Gets the wood, puts a sacrifice on. He tells him to dig a trench. Now, this wasn't to make Elijah famous. All right. Dig a trench. Bring water. A lot of water. Put on the sacrifice. I mean, if God's going to prove himself, God's going to really prove himself. God's going to really prove himself. So much water that the trench around the altar was filled with water. Then Elijah, because the test was the God who answers by fire, let him be God. People need to turn back to God, saints. People today need to turn back to God. And we need the God who answers by fire to prove himself. I'm preaching to me too now. I'm not just preaching to y'all. I want to see God do some things in York, South Carolina, in Rock Hill, South Carolina, Gastonia, Charlotte. I want to see God do some things. Amen. I want to see God move like I see him move when I'm in Africa. Amen. I want to see the glory of God revealed. So he says, a God who answers by fire. Let him be God. So he set the wets the wood. He calls on the name of God. Amen. This was not a show. Amen. Nothing was manufactured. It was simple yet profound faith that God would come true or come through. Elijah believed God that the odds were against him. But he believed God. He was a man of faith. But when you look at this, this is what Elijah said. Elijah said, glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. He said, let it be known today that you are God in Israel. Lord, he said, first of all, the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and you've done all these things at your command. Then he prayed, answer me, Lord, answer me, so that the people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back to you. My goodness. His purpose was that the people would know that God was the Lord, and that it was God, not Elijah. Elijah said, I have nothing to do. I can't save these people. God, you have to show yourself. The people need to know that it's you that's turning their hearts back to you. Purpose is always central to God's presence and God's power. When we come together, is it out of duty or for God's purpose? When we come together, is it because it's the right thing to do, or is it for God's purpose? When we do a thing, is it for God's blessing in our lives, or is it for God's purpose? Purpose is always central to God's presence and God's power. Elijah prayed, answer me, Lord, answer me, so that the people will know that you, Lord, are God, and you are turning their hearts back again to you. And the Lord answered. Somebody say, and the Lord answered. The Bible says, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, burned the wood, burned the stone, and the soil. It's like they poured gasoline on that soil. All they poured was water, but the soil caught fire. What a mighty God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. Yeah. And it even licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they didn't bow down and say, oh, Elijah, you're a mighty prophet. They bowed and said, He is God. The Lord, he is God. Bottom line for us saints is that all we do, we must want, hallelujah, the people to know that God is God. That God is turning their hearts back to him. A purpose has to be right. You don't have to do it here in the sanctuary, because most of us in the sanctuary already know that God is God. But in your house, there's somebody that needs to know that God is God. And you need God to show himself so that that person will know that he's turning their hearts back to him. How many of our children have strayed away from God? How many of our loved ones have strayed away from God? What are we doing? We can't fuss them back to God. We can't fuss them back to God. Stop fussing. You need God to move. You need God to show that he is God. You need them to know that it's God who's turning their hearts back to him. This world is in trouble. Our families are in trouble. We need an answer that only God has and only God can give. But God still has his church. God still has his body in this world that he has determined to use to communicate his message to the people of this world. Church, we've got to come back to God. We've got to pursue the Lord like nothing else. We've got to see God like nothing else. We've got to keep the Lord's purpose at the heart of our pursuit. I'll say it again. God says, when I shut up heaven, that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. God says, when I shut up heaven, and people are dying by the thousands, in Gaza, and the church is praying, but nothing is happening. When I send a hailstorm, I know people today don't want to say that these disasters are a result of God's anger with the sins of this world. But when I send a hailstorm and it destroys people's houses, when I send tornadoes and it devastates towns and communities, when I send floods, it washes houses away. When I send sickness, and all the medicine in the world can cure. If my people, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, not just heal them, but heal their land. Our land needs healing. Our cities need healing. Our homes need healing. Our towns need healing. Elijah knew what to do. We got to know what to do. So, saints of God, when you need an answer from God, an answer that only God can give, do what Elijah did. Make sure your faith, your prayer life, and your closeness to God is intact. And make sure that your focus is on God's purpose and God's presence. And then seek the Lord to move. And God will move. I believe the word of the Lord. When America comes back to God wholeheartedly, when we forget about Donald Trump and Joe Biden, and seek Jesus. And seek Jesus. And the church is the problem. Jesus was never a politician. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. The church is the problem. If my people will call by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from that wicked way. And that's what Elijah was saying. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It's a blanket challenge, but it comes to individual believers. I'm not responsible for you. I'm responsible for, in the sense of my soul salvation and your soul salvation in that sense. I'm responsible to watch for your souls. But you got to make up your own mind. I can't force you. I can't force anybody. But I can deal with myself. I can put restrictions on myself. I can bring myself in line
with the will of the Lord. You've got to do it for yourself. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you that when your word goes forth, it does not return to you void, but it accomplishes all that you desire. Thank you, Lord, that you prosper your word in the things that you sent your word to. Lord, we need an answer. The answer that you have. Thank you for the direction you've given us in your word. We still hold your word high. You honor your word. We'll stand on your word. We thank you, Father, that like Elijah, you will hear and you will answer so that your name is glorified and your purposes are fulfilled in the earth realm. We give you glory now. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. If there's anyone today you'd like to give your life to Jesus, remain standing if you would. I'll move right along. If you need Jesus in your life, you need to rededicate your life to Christ. We want you to give that opportunity to you today. To give your life, to come. If you're not saved today, if you're watching me online today, and you're one of those that's confused, that's disillusioned, you might even be disappointed by some things that you've seen in the fellowship of believers, but let me assure you that your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is what matters. You never find a perfect church, but you find a perfect Christ. And in your walk with him, you will make mistakes. You won't do everything right. So when you're standing in judgment on other people, just remember yourself. We have to put people out of the way, put our focus off of people, and put our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just join in and sing. You can sing that. You all know that. Jesus is the way. So if you need Christ today, as the church sings, as the believers sing, and you want Jesus to be your Savior and your Lord, if you're watching me online, you can put the information there. Someone is watching, and we will get the information, or the information is there for you to write to us on our website so that we can follow up with you. We will do that today. We will follow up with you. If you're in the sanctuary and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity to come now. Or if you want to rededicate your life, if your focus has been off, you know, your focus has been on you, about on your things, about doing you, you know, it's time for you to give your life to Jesus. Amen. So Jesus has first place in your life. Will you come? There's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. So Father, we thank you now. We thank you for this opportunity to share the message that you've given for today. Thank you that when your word goes forth, it does not return to you void, but it accomplishes all that you desire. Thank you, Father, that you prosper your word in the things that you sent your word to. Thank you, Father, for stirring our hearts and our minds, and challenging us to pursue you, to make sure that we put you on display and not ourselves, that we seek you with all of our hearts so that you will move among us and use us to be instruments of your peace, to share this gospel, to minister to the lost, wherever we find them, to lead people to know you as Savior and God. Thank you now. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. Bless the name of Jesus.
I pray that you've been blessed by the message. And if you have, write to us. Let us know how this message has impacted your life. Or if you've made a decision for Christ today to follow Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, write to us and let us know that as well, and give us your information so that we can follow up with you. You may write to us at Tabernacle of Praise at msn.com. That's Tabernacle of Praise at msn.com. Give us your email address or a way to contact you so that we can follow up with you. Also, we would like for you to sow into this ministry. If you've been blessed by this work, by the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of the gospel, and you would like to help further this cause, we're not just preaching here in the United States. We are preaching around the world. Through this podcast, our messages are being heard in many places around the world. We are actively working in 8 countries in the world, on the ground in Liberia, Malawi, Burkina Faso, Ghana, Guinea, Kenya, and Dominican Republic. So if you'd like to help us in this work, feel free to sow a seed to help further the preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the expanding of the kingdom of God. If you would like to give, go to topraise.org/give. Again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Continue to pray with us and for us as we continue to spread this gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. God bless you.